But it was approved. And this document was about our God-given freedoms that we have and we declared as a nation. And Thomas Jefferson famously wrote about three rights that we all have as citizens of this great nation. Do you remember what those three rights were? He said that we have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, yeah, I got thinking about those things that he mentioned there and those important things as part of our declaration. You know, when those things are pursued from a spiritual standpoint, they are what has made our country great. But I think the key there is to pursue them from a spiritual heart. You know, John Adams said this: our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. And I think we're seeing that today. We're seeing the result of people pursuing happiness, but not from a spiritual standpoint. And really, much of what has corrupted this country is the pursuit of happiness, not from a standpoint that is following after the Lord. You think about it. What makes me happy isn't necessarily good for me. And I'll just give you a few examples this morning. You know, we live in a country today where many say it would make me happy to abort this baby in my womb. And, you know, we'll call that woman's rights. And yet the Bible says, folks, that that's murder. And, you know, we read in Psalm 22 and verse 10, the psalmist said, I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. And this is a, you know, a innocent human being. This is God's creation. And each of us, God, the Bible says, God saw our members there in the womb. And he knew us. And it's sad. It really is to see what goes on in our country in the pursuit of what makes me happy. You know, many are pursuing money, the American dream, thinking that it will make them happy. Proverbs 23 and verse 5 tells us this: wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle. And the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. And so certainly going after money, we have to, even as Christians, we have to be careful not to get caught up in that, thinking that that is going to bring us joy and happiness. You know, many think that drinking wine and beer will make them happy. It's really sad to me in Loudoun County, where I live, to see all the wineries and all the breweries and to see the progression of how much drinking is going on. Even during the COVID time when certain things were closed, it just amazed me that one of the essential places that were kept open were the ABC stores, where people can go and get beer and wine and drink. You know what the Bible says about that? Proverbs 23, 31 through 35, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yesterday I was talking with some of our construction workers at our new house, and this guy started talking about time when he got drunk and doing crazy things, and I just sat there, you know, thinking about thanking the Lord that I was raised in a house, a Christian home, where I learned about the gospel at a young age and got saved, and the Lord saved me from a life like that. And, you know, we're trying to witness to these guys that are working on our house, but, you know, just hearing them talk about the happiness he was trying to pursue through drinking, and just in the conversation he admitted it didn't bring him happiness, really a sad thing. Verse 34 goes on to say, yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. Verse 35, they have stricken me, thou shalt say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. And this is the sad part. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. Hey, listen, folks. Happiness is not in drinking beer and getting blasted, getting drunk. That's sin. You know, others are pursuing immorality, thinking that it will make them happy. But yet the Bible says this about that in Proverbs 7 and verses 25 through 27. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. And so we see there are a lot of things that people are going after the wrong kind of things to bring happiness in their life. And as Christians, our rights are very different from the rights of this world. And yes, even from this great country. You know, I think our calling is to a higher calling than happiness. Our calling is to a calling of righteousness. Now, I don't think those two things are mutually exclusive. I think, actually, the happiest you'll be in life, truly happy, is when you are truly pursuing righteousness in your life. When you're living life according to the design that God has for your life laid out for us in the Word of God that He's given to us. This morning, the title of my lesson is this: Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Righteousness. And as Christians, God has called us to a higher calling. We have rights, but they're the rights of heaven, not any rights declared on this earth. And 1 Peter 4:1-4 is our text, and I'd like us to read that here this morning. It says, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men." We see this freedom, spiritual freedom that God gives, a liberty that we can enjoy as brothers and sisters in Christ. And he says that you wouldn't be a slave to sin for the rest of your life. He goes on to say, "But to the will of God." In verse 3, "For the time past of our life, many suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries." Verse 4, "Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you." And folks, when we see that spiritual freedom comes from Christ, we must use that freedom through the life that we have been given by Christ to pursue righteousness. And I want you to notice four truths here from our text this morning concerning liberty. First, we see that liberty, number one, is a result of sacrifice. Liberty is a result of sacrifice. And we see this in 1 Peter 3:18, the previous chapter, as well as chapter 4 and verse 1. You know, freedom is important to everyone. Paul Harvey once told about a group of scientists, I thought this was a funny story, who were determined to teach a chimpanzee to write. For 14 years, the scientists labored diligently and patiently with this chimpanzee, providing things in its cage to enable it to form certain syllables. Finally, the day arrived when it seemed that the chimpanzee was actually going to construct a sentence from the symbols it had been learning. Word went out, and other scientists crowded into the room and gathered around the cage. The scientists could hardly contain themselves as they pressed around the cage to read the history-making sentence. This is what the chimpanzee wrote. Three words: "Let me out." You know, freedom is important to everyone, even a chimp. But sometimes we forget the price of the cost at which it was purchased. Notice first this morning, we have a freedom as Christians from the condemnation of sin. We see this in verse 18 of chapter 3. We have freedom from the condemnation of sin, and it's a result of Christ's sacrifice. In verse 18, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." And then verse 1 of chapter 4, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh." Well, we're all familiar with Patrick Henry's famous words, "Give me liberty or give me death." When it comes to Jesus Christ and our sin, the reality is it was only through his death that we can have true liberty. John chapter 12 and verses 32 through 33, you don't have to turn there, but just listen, "And I, if I be lifted up," Jesus Christ said, "from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. Jesus Christ came to die on this earth to free us from the slave market of our sin. Thank God for that. You know, no one could truly live until Jesus Christ first had to die. And freedom comes at a great price. Whether it's the freedom of our country or whether it's the freedom of our soul, someone had to die. Blood had to be shed. Aren't you thankful this morning Jesus was willing to do that in love for each one of us? Above the entrance to the concentration camp in Auschwitz, Germany, were the words, and I am sorry, Mr. Williams, I don't speak German yet, but I'm going to do my best, and you can correct me later. Arbeit macht frei. Anyhow, the words mean "work makes free." But you know, it's really a bold-faced lie, suggesting that if the prisoners worked hard enough, they would be given liberty. The promised freedom was a horrifying death. Many people believe today that if they do enough good works, that it will get them to heaven. And yet that same thought will lead them to the most horrifying eternity. You know, it's only through Christ's blood that we're liberated from our sin. He died to give us freedom from the penalty of sin. Colossians 1 and verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. So we talk about this liberty, this spiritual liberty that we have, freedom from the condemnation of sin came from Christ's sacrifice. And today we had to stop this Independence weekend and thank God for the independence he's provided us through the death of his son on the cross for us. But you know, freedom also from the control of sin we see here in this passage. Not just from the condemnation, but from its control in this life. Thank God that we're on our way to heaven. We're no longer condemned, Romans 8, chapter 8 and verse 1 says. But you know what? Not only do we have that promise that when we die, we're going to heaven, but God has also given us the promise that we can have freedom from our sin now, here, on this earth. Freedom from the control of sin as a result of Christian sacrifice we see here in verse 1. Now listen, we're not saved by our works. The Bible makes that clear in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. But the very next verse does tell us why we were saved. And it says that we were created unto good works in Christ Jesus. The Bible's not saying that sacrifice isn't a part of the Christian life. It just wasn't part of making us a Christian. But now that we are Christians, yes, God has a sacrifice that he desires and expects from each one of us as Christians. And that's an important ingredient to us being able to have freedom from the control of sin in each one of our lives. Look at verse 1 there. The second part of the verse says this: arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh, there's the idea of sacrifice, has ceased from sin. And so in order to have control in your life over sin, in order to not be a slave to it, the Bible says that there is a sacrifice that's required of us as Christians. The problem today is that many Christians are living their lives based on convenience rather than living life based on convictions. And I want to talk directly to the parents this morning right now. Folks, we need to teach our kids convictions in life. It's not good enough that our parents, that our kids believe what they believe because mom and dad said so. We need to teach them, thus saith the Lord, and we need to teach them the principles of Scripture so that as they grow up, they have bedrock convictions that they can stand upon. And when the winds of change come and blow, their lives will be standing firm on the Word of God. Are we doing our part as parents to instill in them biblical convictions and principles that will guide their life even when we're gone from this earth? I pray that we are. That's really our job as parents. And, you know, this morning, each one of us need to have these convictions in our life. You know, it's typical these days for Christians to come one time a week to church. Not really a conviction about church attendance. Come however you want. No distinction from the world. Listen to rock music that has Christian words. No commitment. No sacrifice. No conviction. May that not be what characterizes Temple Baptist Church. I heard recently of one megachurch in the area that went to paying their congregation to work in the church nursery because no one was willing to volunteer to serve. And then when the pastor wanted to get out of doing it that way, there was this big stink. Folks, we ought to be willing to sacrifice and serve for Jesus Christ. When we think of all that he did for us, it's only our reasonable service that we offer ourselves back in service to him. And we've created a Christian culture that's not willing to serve or sacrifice. We don't like suffering. But when our flesh, the old man, suffers, he's sacrificed and our spirit is strengthened according to what the Bible says here. You know, it's good for us to get out there and sweat for the Lord. You know, we sweat to make money and we work hard to do different things in order to better our lives from a financial standpoint. But what about getting out there and giving the gospel? Going on a missions trip and, yeah, working hard and sweating in order to build a church and see people be able to get saved. I just got a note back from Brother Randy Alderman in Togo. We had a chance to go there this past year, and he was just telling me one of the ladies was helping us that day, she actually a couple weeks got sick and went on to be with the Lord. But thank God for a church there that led her to the Lord. And thank God for missionaries that are willing to sacrifice and go. Why are there less and less people that are surrendering for the mission field? Why are there less and less people that are surrendering for full-time Christian service, pastors and evangelists? I wonder if it's because as Christians we've gotten so comfortable in our convenience, we're not willing to make any sacrifice for Jesus Christ. Listen, if that's what defines your life, then you're also not going to be able to have control over sin, because the Bible says here, he that suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. And what's easy to our flesh is to give in to it. But what's difficult is when we're willing to crucify our flesh for Jesus Christ's sake and make the sacrifices that God wants us to make in life in order to serve him. Hey, you know, the Christian sacrifice must be daily. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 31 says, I protest by rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. And so, you know, it's something that we have to do each day. This is a pattern of our life. It's not good enough just to start a race. We've got to have a consistent race, and we've got to finish the race with faithfulness. The Christian sacrifice must be daily, but I see the Christian sacrifice must be voluntary. It's not something that should be forced upon us. We already quoted this verse, but I'll say it again, Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It just makes sense. And the Christian sacrifice, not only is it daily and voluntary, but it must be total. It must be complete. Galatians 5 and verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Listen, God wants you to have liberty spiritually in your life, but you need to understand this morning it's the result of sacrifice. And if you're here today and you're listening and you've never accepted his sacrifice for your sins, it's the only way that you can have true liberty from your sin and from the condemnation of sin. As Christians, we've enjoyed that, we've accepted that, but what about the control of sin in your life? One of the ways, one of the remedies to get rid of that control of sin in our life is to sacrifice our flesh and the desires that it wants in order to have spiritual desires in your life. Notice number two, we define liberty this morning. Liberty is a result of sacrifice, but here in our text we see also liberty is a reward of battle. Liberty is a reward of battle. Look back in verse 1 and we see the word there, arm. This is the Greek word hoplizo. It means to equip with weapons. Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Now, liberty is often associated with war. I recently saw a motto that said, America, land of the free because of the brave. And I want to encourage you, you see a man in uniform or someone that you know has served our country, take the time to stop and thank them. Recently, we've been trying to go up to first responders and police and just let them know how thankful and appreciative we are to them. We had a chance yesterday as we were walking around getting ready to watch the fireworks to just encourage those men. And boy, I could just see that encouragement in their eyes to hear someone thank them for their service. But whether it's someone who's in our military or one of our first responders, we ought to stop and thank them for their sacrifice to help keep us safe and serving each one of us as a country. But you know what? Liberty is a reward of battle. We can't forget the people that have fought for our freedoms. And the day that we stop fighting for them will be the day, folks, that we lose them. Notice a couple things about the battle of liberty here in our passage. We see, first of all, participation in war is not passive, but it is active. Again, the word there, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. It's something that you have to do. Nobody else can force you to do it. You have to equip yourself. And you know, I want to talk to the young people now. And yes, it's your parents' responsibility to teach you and give you convictions and principles from the Word of God. But at some point, you have to stand up and you have to have character to make the right decisions. And you have to arm yourself with the Word of God to be able to stand in this life. And you've got to be a part of fighting this spiritual battle. Participation in war is active, not passive. Ephesians 6, 11 through 18 talks about the armor that we should have as Christians. It's not an armament that we wore physically, but it's a spiritual armament. And it says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We could do a whole series on the armor of God. But how are you doing in your life with regard to the things that were mentioned here? A breastplate of righteousness. Having, again, convictions to do what's right. The sword of the Spirit. Are you in the Word of God on a daily basis? Making it a part of your life, meditating on it, and having convictions based on it. The shield of faith. Do you have a trust in the Lord? Do you have a faith in what His Word says and what His will is for your life? Participation in war is active, and we've got to actively be using the spiritual armor that God has given to each one of us. Galatians 5:17 reminds us, for the flesh lusteth, or wars against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. It's a war that's taking place every day, and if we're not careful as Christians, we'll forget that. And we'll just be going along through our life in the middle of a battle, but unaware about it. And unfortunately, that's how a lot of spiritual casualties take place. Let's be alert. Let's be aware. And let's make sure that we've armed ourselves in order to fight this spiritual battle. But you know, participation in war is not passive but active. But notice also, our mindset is a weapon. Our mindset is a weapon. You know, we need a mindset of faithfulness. Hebrews 12, 3 through 4 tells us this, for consider him, talking about Jesus Christ, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Listen, folks, the battle many times is waged and takes place, the war, in our minds, our thought life. Do we sit around and worry? Folks, worry is sin. Do we sit around and think evil thoughts about other people? Do we think thoughts of immorality? Listen, the things that we do with our bodies and the things that we do with our actions, they start right up here. And we have to have a certain mindset in order to have victory in our lives spiritually. Not everything in the Christian life is going to be easy. Yesterday, we were working out on our property in the morning time, and we had this huge pile of brush that I'd cleared a while back, and we just needed to get rid of it. And so the kids have been helping over the last, I guess, 3 or 4 days, my wife and I and the kids, and we've been moving all that brush. And you know, it's hard work, and it's good. That's a good word, work. And it's a good thing for your kids to work, you know, and get off that device and get off that computer and that Xbox or whatever, and sweat and work. Because God wants us to be hard workers. Listen, in your job, you ought to be known as one of the hardest workers. It's a great testimony for Jesus Christ. And it will open doors for you to give the gospel to other people. But yes, we want our kids to be hardworking. You know, I think about the song in the hymn, Am I a Soldier of the Cross? Am I a soldier of the cross? A follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his claws or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace to help me on to God? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. I trust that is our heart's desire, to be faithful as we serve the Lord. But then, you know, we need a mindset of service. And Philippians 2, 5 and verse 8, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and his mindset, gives us this example. It says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was 100% God. But what did he do? He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Listen, folks, life isn't about us. And Jesus Christ gave us that example. If anybody who deserved the glory, who deserved to be worshipped, who deserved to be lifted up and served, he was the one that lowered himself and served others. What a great example he gives to each one of us. And you know, the danger today about rights is that we can get focused on my rights. We can get focused on our rights to the exclusion of what's good for others. Again, as Christians, we're called to a higher calling. We're called to serve others. We're called to love those who are enemies and to love those that hate us. And that's not easy, but it's what Jesus did when he died on the cross. As people came by and reviled him and spat on him and crucified him, can't we go through a little bit of persecution for his sake? For the sake of others, for the sake of the gospel? We're not going to do it if we don't have a mindset of service. And you know, we need a mindset of discernment. 1 Corinthians 2:13 through 16 tells us this: which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Listen, we need the Holy Spirit to guide us. He is our guide. He's our help in this life. And if you're not going to him on a regular basis, seeking his wisdom, seeking his guidance for decisions in your life, then you're going to end up lost in this life. You're going to end up in places where you don't want to go. But thank God we've been given a teacher. We've been given a comforter. We've been given a guide, and it's the Holy Spirit. Are we listening to him? Goes on to say, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto them. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That's what we're talking about here, discernment. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Listen, folks, it's a confusing, crazy world out there today. All the things that we're told and the things that we're seen and things that are taught, things that are said to be true, things that are said to be fact-checked, and whatever you want to call it, listen, there's only one true fact-check, and it's this book right here. It's the Spirit of God that teaches us what is truth and leads us into all truth. And if you're not living submitted to him, you will find yourself confused in this life and lost, even as a Christian. We need discernment. We need the mind of Christ. I tell you, a good prayer to pray as you wake up in the morning: Lord, let me think the way that you think. That's what wisdom is. Wisdom is seeing things from God's perspective. God, help me to have wisdom. You promised it, give it to me. You know, as we've been building this house, there's been all sorts of little things that can come up and sometimes problems that you got to figure out. And the only thing I've known to do, sometimes I've gone to other people that are knowledgeable and they say, I don't know the answer for that one. And the only thing I've known to do is say, Lord, you promised wisdom. It's one of the things you promised to give in the scripture. And I'm just asking you for it now. And you know what? The Lord gives it to us if we'll trust him. We need discernment. I think, I don't know if you remember a couple years ago, it's been a while now, I'm getting older, but WWJD, how many remember the WWJD fad that went around? People would wear these bracelets, WWJD. What did it mean? What would Jesus do? Now really, that's a great question. And it really is a great motto for us to live by. Unfortunately, a lot of people that would wear a WWJD bracelet or t-shirt would do the things that Jesus would not do, okay? And we don't want to be hypocrites. But you know what? To ask the question, what would Jesus do, is a good question. Am I living life the way he would want me to live life? If he was here in my shoes, how would he do it? We ought to pause throughout the day, and decisions that we make, we ought to say, Lord, what would you want me to do? Liberty is a reward of battle. We have to have a particular mindset. We have to be actively involved in this battle. And then we notice finally this morning, liberty is a result of sacrifice. Liberty is a reward of battle. But I want you to notice here in conclusion, number three, liberty is a rationale for service. 1 Peter 4, we're back in our text in verse 2. Notice what it says there. It says that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Now, we've talked a little bit about it already, but I want to focus in a little bit more on our service for God. Hey, listen, first of all, we've been given life in order to repay it. You ever heard of paying it back? Anybody ever heard that? Sometimes I've gone and gone through a drive-thru, and I'll get up to the drive-thru with the order that I ordered, and someone will say, someone already paid for your food. And I'm like, what? Someone paid for my food? What's going on? And I'm here in this drive-thru, and my first thought is, why didn't I order more? You know. But then my second thought is, who paid for this? And I asked the person. They said, it was someone who just said, pay it back. And what they mean by that is sometime when you come through the drive-thru, you pay for the next guy. And they're just trying to create a spirit of charity, of giving. It's a good thing. And this idea of paying it back, you know what? That's really what we need to do as Christians. Boy, how much do we owe the Lord Jesus? How much do we owe to pay him back? And I'm sad to say, I don't feel like in my life I've paid him back nearly enough. And I think when we all get to heaven, we're going to feel a sense of, I wish I had done more. But I want that feeling to be cut down a little bit by my sacrifice in this life, by my service to him. Romans 12:1, we already mentioned, it's our reasonable, our rational service. Liberty is a rationale for service, that he no longer should live the rest of his life, time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. That's what God wants you to do, is live his will for your life. I have a question for you. Sometimes we think of teenagers and we say, what does God want you to do? And you need to find God's will for your life. Hey, adult, what about God's will for your life? Are you living it? Are you doing what God wants you to do day in and day out? And yes, children and teenagers, are you submitted to doing whatever God wants you to do? Have you surrendered to the will of God for your life? We owe it to God. 1 Corinthians 7:20 through 24, let every man abide in the same calling wherewith he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye therefore the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide with God. We've been given life, folks. We ought to repay it to God. Notice, B, we have been given life in order to walk in it. And Romans 6:3 through 7 tells us, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism to death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And you know, when we baptize someone, we say those words, don't we? And the words that we say when we're baptizing someone are biblical words. They're not just some fancy words that we've come up with. They're biblical things. And when we baptize someone, we say to walk in newness of life. And that picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, associating ourselves with his death, is to associate ourselves with his sacrifice and a willingness moving forward in life to be his disciple, to carry our cross. We've been given life in order to walk in it, and we've been given life in order to conquer through it. Aren't you thankful that there is victory in Jesus Christ? And sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I get discouraged and I got to turn the news off. You know, I probably watch too much news sometimes and I just start getting discouraged looking at what's going on around this world. But listen, no matter how crazy it gets down below here, Jesus Christ is still on his throne. And folks, we are on the winning side and we do have victory in Jesus. God has given us the ability to conquer spiritually in this life. We are more than conquerors. And Romans 6:12 through 13 says this, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Listen, you don't have to obey sin. You don't let it have to reign in your life, the Bible says. Verse 13, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness. But it says there's a choice. You choose what you yield to. You choose whether you yield yourself to sin or whether you yield yourself to God. It goes on to say that, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And listen, folks, the fact today is that you're going to serve someone. You know, it cracks me up when you hear people say, don't, you know, someone says, don't listen to your parents. Don't, you know, don't let them tell you how to live. Well, you know what? If you listen to what they say, then who are you obeying? You're going to obey someone. You're going to obey someone in life. And let me tell you, the best person to obey is the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 6, 16 through 18. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves, servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Liberty is a result of sacrifice. And this Independence Weekend, we ought to pause and thank our Heavenly Father for the sacrifice of his Son. Thank Jesus Christ for what he did, shedding his blood on the cross to give us the ultimate liberty. Liberty is a reward of battle. And today, maybe you've gotten lulled asleep a little bit spiritually. Maybe you've forgotten the fact there's a battle raging around us, a battle for men's souls, a battle for the character of Christians and the testimony of Christians. And maybe you need to re-up your service today for the Lord. It's a rationale for service. And we see that all that Jesus has done for us, it only makes sense that we live as living sacrifices for him. Thank God for our liberty. Let's use it for Jesus Christ. Let's pray this morning. Thank you, Lord, for what you provided for us. Thank you for the true freedom that we can have from sin in this life and a freedom to serve you. Heavenly Father, help us to be aware. Help us to be discerning. Help us to have convictions. Help us to be thankful for the liberty that you've given to us. Bless the service now to come. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.